We are going to be in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 32, Exodus chapter 32, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. I'll read them if you've promised to follow along. If I see you sleeping, then we'll have to stand you up, do some sit-ups or something. But Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 11. I told the kids, I said, I'm preaching on Moses tonight. And Elaine said, again? I said, yes, again. There's a lot of story here to the book of Moses. And we're actually going to be doing a Sunday school lesson here after God's love. Going to be working through the life of Moses. So I wanted to get these in before so you didn't think I was cheating off of the lesson. But I enjoy the life of Moses. Again, Moses was was just a meek man. The Bible says that there wasn't a man that was more meek in all of the earth, and that was who Moses was. He had that quiet strength about him. Imagine leading a group of people. It's amazing. I'm part of the HOA in our development, and it's amazing. Any decision you make, you can never make anybody happy. Never. They've for several years they've been crying out, "We need a playground for the kids. We need a playground." And so then we started talking about that. We put that in the newsletter. Hey, we're going to start doing a playground. And then we were getting phone calls. We can't have a playground. And all these other, it's like, we can't make anybody happy. So anyway, but imagine if you're the leader and you've got millions of people following you and they are known for their complaining. We read through the book of Exodus. We read through Numbers and Leviticus. We just see the complaints of these people. We're often in those situations as well. But Moses is just such a great leader. And I enjoy reading and learning about Moses. So we're going to look at a story here tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you. But Exodus chapter 32, and we'll start there in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, 'Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him.' And Aaron said unto them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me.' And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, 'These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.' And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.' And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand?' Let's pray. Lord, I ask you, please be with us, Lord, tonight. I ask that you help us as we look through this story here and the children of Israel's history. Lord, something that we can learn and pull from. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you've given us. I ask you, please help us not to waste them, not to miss them, not to take these blessings and these miraculous things that you've done in our lives for granted. And I just ask you, please continue to be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many's ever, How many's ever sat down, and I know some of the younger kids, this doesn't make any sense, but when we would go home, when we would go to Louisiana, my mom, she had six sisters, six of them total, and they took the pictures, right? You take your pictures, you go get them developed, you put them into a shoebox, and then every year they would take this big box down. And man, they would have pictures after pictures after pictures after pictures. And it was just fun to look through them. I remember one picture of us, and we were, the cousins, we were all together. We were young, and we were playing in this horse trough. It's kind of similar to this. In my mind, it was a lot bigger, but I was small, so I don't know. But it was kind of like this. It was a round horse trough. And I look, and I'm like, the water is super brown. And I said, yeah, Mom, what was going on here? Well, we didn't have a plug, so, you know, my grandpa chewed tobacco, so his spit rag that he would use, he plugged the hole with it. So, yeah, we were swimming and spitting and everything. So, yeah, all right. I'm glad it didn't absorb through the skin. But anyway, but I remember those memories. I remember taking those, you know, those picture boxes down and just for hours, just pouring through pictures. It's just a fun thing to do. But I remember we would come up to stories that in my mind, this is exactly how things went down. This is how it happened. This is where we were at. This is what we were doing. I remember everybody that was around there at this time. And then I'll tell the story for that picture. And then my brother starts to pipe up and say, no, that's not how it went at all. Man, we were doing this and this and this. And he had a whole different story. I don't know what he was doing, but his story was completely different than my story. And I'm like, that's weird. And then someone else would pipe up. No, I remember it this way. And man, you'd have so many different stories, the same picture. The same thing happened to all of us, but we all remember it a little bit differently. And we kind of see that a little bit here with the children of Israel. I want you to take your Bible, Exodus chapter 32. I want us to look through some of these things that the children of Israel were going through. Look at verse number 1. And the people saw that Moses delayed to come down to the mount. And the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For, as this Moses, pay attention, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. So the children of Israel, they're not even months at this point removed from Egypt. Like, this is fresh still in the children of Israel. They're at Mount Sinai. They're waiting for Moses. He's receiving commandments from the Lord. And we're not even months at this point. But yet the children of Israel, who do they say brought them out of the land of Egypt? They say Moses did. Okay, well, let's look to see what else happens. Look at verse number 4. And he received them, Aaron received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. We see this again here. Not only was it Moses that brought us out, now we've got these gods. These gods we literally just made. Those are the ones that brought us up out of the land of Egypt. We kind of can see a little bit of confusion, a little fuzziness here in remembering what actually happened. Look at verse number 7. And the Lord said to Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. This is God himself speaking to Moses. He said, look, your people, you brought them out of the land of Egypt. They're your problem. You go get your people. All right, let's see what verse number 11 says. Look at what Moses responds back with. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said to the Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? We kind of see here there's a little bit of a back and forth. The children of Israel, at this point, Moses was up there for 40 days. Within 40 days, they had forgotten completely that God had done all of these miracles. The many blessings that God had showed to the children of Israel, totally forgot about it. And this calf that Aaron made, man, that is the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. And you kind of see here the confusion that has taken place. We see here just a little bit of this back and forth, this crazy cycle of passing this story on. It's the gods that brought us out of the land of Egypt. No, it's Moses. No, it's your people. No, it's my people. It's back and forth and back and forth. The people were definitely confused and accrediting the victory to Moses and then to the golden calves. This is a great miracle. The fact that God used the 10 plagues to bring the children of Israel, millions of people, out of Egypt. And not just leave, they left with everything. They spoiled the Egyptians. They were taking gold. They didn't have any animals. They were all killed in the plague. But they were taking whatever they could, clothes and jewelry and everything they could. And they spoiled the Egyptians on their way out. But the people were crediting this victory to these molten gods that Aaron had literally just made. And we kind of can see a little bit of confusion here. But here's what God wanted to see what Moses would do. If we look at verse number 7 through 10, we just read it. I'm not going to read it again. But Moses says, hey, get down there. The people they made some gods, and they're worshiping those gods. It's the people that you brought out. And God kind of told Moses, he said, look, just step out of the way. I'm going to wipe them all out, and I'll start a new nation with you. And man, Moses is like, whoa, hold on, God. Hold on. All right, I don't want to start that all over again. No, this is not how it happened. You're the one that brought them out of the land of Egypt. God wanted to see what Moses would do. Why else would he tell Moses what he was about to do? My mom had a thing when she was about to punish us I'm about to come through this house and it better be clean or I'm going to start giving out some punishment. What was that? That was a hurry, scamper, get everything clean before she walks in the room. Why else would she tell us that? She wanted it to be clean. She didn't want to have to punish, but she wanted to see our response to it. Same thing with God. God wanted to see what Moses' response would be for the fact that he was going to wipe them all out. But here, I want us to notice some things here. Here's the bottom line. The children of Israel forgot, within a short span of time, the miraculous events that God used to bring them out of the land of Egypt. They forgot, if you will, the blessings that were bestowed upon them. Everything that they had, God had taken care of them to that point. They had gotten through the Red Sea. That was a miracle. All the 10 plagues were a miracle. The fact they didn't die out of Pharaoh's hand was another miracle. And man, here they go, and as soon as they get across the Red Sea, they don't have any water. God turns this old bitter water into sweet water that they could drink. Man, there's miracle after miracle after miracle. They're being fed. Everything is being taken care of for these children of Israel. So quickly, they forgot the blessings of the Lord. They forgot who gave them those blessings. Why do we constantly forget God's blessings? Why do we do that? God has given us so many things, and we don't stop to thank Him. We don't stop to praise Him for who He is and what He's done in our lives. A statement that rings true in my life, and I try to practice it, but it's if you were to have today what you thanked God for yesterday, what would you have? But man, that's God. God has given us everything. The fact that we were able to walk in tonight, the fact that we can still breathe and see and hear, those are all blessings from God. The fact that we have not one car, but sometimes 2 cars at home, and we've got a home to stay in. Man, those are blessings. And what is this? So often we forget about the blessings that God gives to us. So often we do. I'm going to give you a couple points tonight on why do we constantly forget God's blessings and how to keep them in our remembrance. How to keep them in our remembrance. What is the first thing that happens when we forget about the blessings of the Lord? Look at Exodus chapter 32, verse number 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, this man that brought us out by the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Notice what the phrasing there at the beginning. He says, hey, up, make us gods which shall go before us. They were going to keep moving on without God. Their focus had changed completely to total dependence and total reliance on God to now, hey, make us some gods that's going to keep us going. We're going to keep going here. Just forget about God. Our focus is just to keep moving on. Make us some gods that can deliver us, that can keep us going. And their whole focus had changed. What happens to us? We change our focus away from God. That's why we forget about His blessings. It's because the focus of our life is no longer spotlighted on God. It's on so many different things. Growing up, I read a statement here recently. It said, you can't offend me. I used to hold the flashlight for my dad, okay? And that's exactly the case. You know, you're sitting there, a little kid, you know, just old enough to hold a flashlight. And, you know, you're standing on your tiptoes and on a little stool. As dad's in there, he's just tearing up this engine. I don't even know if he knew what he was doing. But, man, he's ripping after it. And, of course, you're holding the flashlight and you're shaking. You're like... And then, of course, you know, there's a butterfly, and you start looking away. Oh, look at that. Or, hey, there's a tool down here. And what do you hear? Son, come on. I need to see. Come here. Give me the light. I am so thankful. Somebody was using their head when they put those LED lights on a headlamp. I'm like, man, that could have saved me a lot of trauma. No. But here's the thing. What happened? Our focus often gets shifted away from where it should be. Our focus should be on what God wants. Our focus should be on the things that the Lord has for us in our life. But so often, we change our focus away from God. We put the focus often on ourselves. Far too often, we remember past victories and accredit them not to God, but we accredit them to ourselves. Well, man, I was a smart person. Man, I made a really smart decision over here. Oh, man, you know what? This really worked out. I'm glad that I did this. Oh, man, my hands, these hands, I was able to create these things here. And I was able to make this kind of money. And I was able to put this together. And, man, what do? We take the things that the Lord has given us and we accredit them to ourselves. We take the focus off where it should be and put it elsewhere. We often put the focus on ourselves. Our focus shifts from, look how big God is. Look at what God did in our life. To, man, we got everything together. We got things going on, don't we? And our focus so easily changes from where it ought to be. Many of you know who the king Nebuchadnezzar is, the king of Babylon. The king, the Bible says in Daniel 4:30, it says, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by my power and the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Nebuchadnezzar said, look at all of this stuff that I've created. When we know specifically in Daniel that God called Nebuchadnezzar his servant. He was doing the Lord's work. The children of Israel were being disobedient. They were serving other gods. So the Lord used Nebuchadnezzar to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt or out of Israel, just like he had already told them that he was going to do. And he brought them out, and it wasn't necessarily that Nebuchadnezzar was a great man, but Nebuchadnezzar had pride in his heart. He took the great victory that the Lord gave and accredited it to himself. Right after this is when he became like a cattle in the field. He was eating grass. He had feathers grow on him. His nails grew out. And until he humbled himself, that is when God started to bless him again. But he brought everything to himself, and he brought the focus to himself. The Bible says in 2 Kings 10, there's another man. The Bible talks about a man named Jehu. The Lord said unto Jehu, because thou hast done well in executing that which was right in mine eyes, and hast done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in mine heart, thy children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. Jehu is probably one of my favorite kings. When I was in middle school is when I first started reading about Jehu. And man, I loved it. He came through all of Ahab's descendants, his sons, and man, he just started killing them. Man, it was great. He sent out letters to the servants that were the servants of Ahab's sons and said, hey, you know what, go ahead and get their heads and send them to me. I want to see their heads. Man, he was just one of those cold-blooded killers. He had said, hey, I'm going to get all of these the worshipers of Baal together. And man, we're going to have a big feast for Baal. And man, he told his servants, if you let one of those guys escape, I'm killing you instead. And man, they killed over 800 people that day. Man, Jehu was very ferocious when it came to the Lord. But as soon as victory came, he forgot the Lord. The Bible says there in verse number 31, but Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord, God of Israel, with all of his heart. For he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. So the very person that he was there to destroy, Ahab's descendants, God gave him victory. And instead of saying, God, I don't want that to happen to me or my kids, I'm going to follow you. No, he said, all right, hey, look what I did. And man, the focus was put on himself. And because of that, Jehu is up to the fourth generation. After that, he got killed and they moved on from there. We have so much pride that it doesn't even bother us if we harm other people. When we take the focus off of God and we start putting it on ourselves, we harm other people. The Bible, take your Bibles if you will. Go to 2 Kings with me. 2 Kings, I want you to see this. 2 Kings chapter 20. What was the first thing that happened to the children of Israel that they forgot the blessings of the Lord is they changed their focus away from where it should be and focusing on God. We're going to look at a man named, a king named Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 20. Verse number 14, and we'll read 14 through 19. 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 14 through 19. The Bible says, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, they shall take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Listen, notice what he said here. His focus had changed so much from God. Hezekiah was the man in the first month, in 8 days of being a king. He went through there. He opened the house of the Lord up. He had a great revival. He started the Passover feast again. Man, had everybody turning their hearts to God. And for, I think it was about 13 or 18 years. Man, he served the Lord with all of his heart. But then the Lord gave him 15 extra years. And with that, what did he do with it? He wasted it. And he brought his focus from wholly serving the Lord, wholly following the Lord, to bringing it to himself. And notice this statement. Isaiah says, hey, Hezekiah, because you showed them this, you brought them in here, they saw everything that we had, your sons are going to be taken away, they're going to be eunuchs in another land. They're going to go to a land that they don't know the language. They're going to take it to a land where they're going to be held as slaves and be used against their will. That is where they're going to go because you disobeyed and because your heart has not followed me. But notice what Hezekiah changed so much. Notice what happened here. Look at verse number 19. Isaiah just told him this. Now look at verse number 19. Then Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. I don't know if there's anything good that we just read there. But notice what he says here. And he said, it is not good. Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? Notice what happened. He didn't even care about his own children. He didn't even care about the country that was to follow because his focus had changed so much from what God wanted to himself. And because of that, it did happen. There was great destruction that the Babylonians came in and they killed several thousands of people because of this. But he said, hey, is it not good that there's going to be peace and truth in my days? And man, he had totally ignored what was going to happen. Because of pride, he was okay that other people were harmed. Because the focus was not on others, it was not on God, but it was on himself. What happens when we start forgetting about the Lord is, number one, we change our focus from God. And because we change our focus, we eventually forsake God. We eventually forsake God. Take your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 11. 2 Chronicles chapter 11. You're in Kings. Go to the right a little bit, towards the back of the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 11. And we're going to look at verses 16 through 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 16 through 17. I'll read a verse here in Exodus. The children of Israel not only forgot God's law because they changed their focus, but also they started to forsake God. In verse number 4 of Exodus 32, you don't have to turn there, the Bible says, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. And after he made a molten calf, they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. It wasn't enough for them just to forget about God. They had to go to the point where they forsook God completely. I'm done with God. I'm done with what he has for me. I'm going to do something else. And they made this false golden calf. But then look here. You're in 2 Chronicles chapter 11. The Bible says in verse number 16, and after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong 3 years. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon. This is a great thing. We see Rehoboam, he was Solomon's son. He had had the kingdom rent from him. But then he made a decision. He's going to hold on to Jerusalem. He's going to hold on to Judah. And I'm going to make sure that the people walk in the ways of David, my father, Solomon, my father. And we're going to serve the Lord for 3 years. But then look at chapter 12 and verse number 1. And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all of Israel with him. Rehoboam had Solomon as his father. Preacher's been talking about Ecclesiastes. Solomon, the wisest man in the whole entire planet, had given him the book of Proverbs that we get to read from. Many of those were Solomon's Proverbs that God gave to him. And Rehoboam, if you were to read Proverbs, you would see the phrase, my son, my son, my son. That is Solomon speaking directly to Rehoboam as a king. And Rehoboam had all of this wisdom in store. He had all of this truth. And yet, when he used it for 3 years, God blessed him. But as soon as he made himself strong, as soon as he got a name for himself, he took the focus off of God and put it on himself, then he started to forsake the law of the Lord. And that is when destruction came. Solomon was his father. The book of Proverbs was written to him. Yet we see him forsake everything that made him successful. Why do we avoid sin? Because I don't want to forsake God. There is a path that we travel. When we start to forget the blessings of the Lord, we are so easy. We're on the same path to forsake God. Many people growing up through my childhood and even in Bible college, I think of one person specifically that the Lord brought him out of a great deal of sin. And man, he was just living a worldly lifestyle. The Lord cleaned him up. And man, he was living for God. He was in the Bible college with us. We were great friends. We worked together as security guards. And man, everything was good until he started to forget the blessings of the Lord. And I could see it. And I would be, hey, Marcus, is everything okay? What's going on? Oh, you know, I'm okay. I'm just, you know, we're good. I got other things I need to do. And man, he started forgetting about God. And then eventually, I haven't heard from him in years. But last time I saw him, he works at a fast food restaurant. He works at a fast food restaurant, and man, he's living a homosexual lifestyle and just everything that we had stood against. I went soul winning with him. I was on his bus route. We worked together for the Lord, but everything that he had that God had given to him, he forsook. And that's what we are on the same path when we do that. When we forget the laws of God, when we forget the blessings and the commandments of God, we are headed on a path of forsaking God. The children of Israel didn't just stop with forgetting God's law and say, hey, build us, that man Moses, he's gone, we just need to keep going. No, they said, hey, build us a calf. That'll be our God. What have they done? They completely forsook the law of God. They completely forsook God. When we have a child that gets in trouble here at the school, or we have a child that gets in trouble at our home, you know what we do? We say, hey, what is the rule that's in our house? Why? Because I want them to remember what the rule is. All right, hey, did you break such rule? Yes, I did. I broke the rule. All right, hey, you know what? You get a punishment for breaking the rule. But you know what? Especially with the Christian school, but in the bus route and things that are done in the past, the kids that don't remember or try not to remember, they forget about the rules and the laws that we have in place. Those are the kids that cause the most trouble. Why? Because they forget what God has told them. They forget the blessings of the Lord. Rehoboam, just a great case in this, that he was strong, but yet he forsook the law of God. This was a full-blown rebellion that started with the children of Israel forgetting God. We may not be building a golden calf in our living rooms. I hope you're not, because gold's expensive right now. We may not be building a golden calf in our living room, but there are some things that we have in our life that, if we're not careful, are going to pull our hearts away from God. If we're not careful, we are building idols, if you will. It could be anything. I think of money. Man, money is one of those things that you can never have enough of, right? I don't want to be filthy rich, but at least, just let me try it one day. I'll see if I like it or not. But no, but it's one of those things that people just live their lives for, and it becomes an idol. It becomes a god. And because of that, we have a lot of frustrated people. Why? Because they're not doing what God wanted them to do. They're trying to fill that void with an idol, with something that they're trying to worship. And they forsake God. They forsake everything for that idol. What do we have in our lives that we've chosen over God? Again, the children of Israel, two things that they did that messed them up very bad is they changed their focus away from God. And then they completely forsook God because of that. Here's the thing that we need to do. Turn back to Exodus chapter 32. Look at verse number 11. And we're done here. Exodus chapter 32, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand?" With great power and a mighty hand. Verse number 12, "Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief he did bring them out and slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seeds as the stars of heaven. In this land that I have spoken of, I will give to your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." Here's the thing here. We have the children of Israel. We have Aaron, the leadership there at the time. Everybody had forsaken God. They had built their own gods, and they had totally changed the focus away from God, and they forgot who God was. But here's the only thing that Moses had that these children of Israel didn't have. Two things. One, he wasn't a part of any of this because he was with God. I don't have time to turn to the verse, but Moses was on the mountain with God, speaking to him face to face. He was getting the commandments of God. And because he was near God, it was somebody that he communicated with on a regular basis. It's hard to forget about that. Man, me and my wife, we stay in the same house. It's hard for me to forget about her because we live in the same house. We communicate with each other all the time. But man, I had a friend call me up the other day, and man, I haven't heard from him in forever, for years. And I, you're married. Oh, okay, yeah. What's your wife's name? I don't remember her. Oh, she said she went to school with her. I don't remember any of that stuff. Why? Because I don't talk to him on a regular basis. But the thing that Moses had is he had a constant communication with God. And that helped him to remember God's blessings. What was the second thing that Moses had? Moses had a reminder of God's power. Moses had a memento of God's rod. He had God's rod in his hand. And that rod was a constant reminder to Moses about the blessings of the Lord. That was the rod that God told him, we talked about it on Sunday night, that he threw down. It became a serpent. That was the same rod that he used to strike the rock and water came out. That was the same rod that he used to be able to use and do miracles. He split the Red Sea with that rod. That was a constant reminder to Moses about the blessings of the Lord. Moses not only had spent time with God, but Moses had chosen to make reminders of God's power. God wants us to have things in our life that remind us of his blessings towards us. We're not going to look at it, but the children of Israel, when they went into the promised land, they had to pass through the Jordan River. And God told Joshua, he said, before you pass into the river, as I have the water split, I want you to take one man from every tribe, and they're going to take a rock and put it on their shoulder. And when you go into the promised land, to Gilgal, I want you to take those rocks, and I want you to set them up as a reminder of my power. Reminder of where you came from. Reminder of what I've done in your life. God wants us to set up some reminders in our life. What is it for you? What has God blessed you with? I have this wedding ring on my hand. I play with it all the time, right? And here, because it's cold, it flies off and I have to go run and catch it. But what is this? This is a reminder about the blessings that God has given me a wife. These are the reminders of the things that we've gone through in our life, but yet we still continue to move forward. There's a reminder in my life. Man, here recently somebody's told me, if you're ever just sitting alone, you got some time alone, take out your phone and look at some pictures of your kids. It'll be much better than scrolling through Facebook. And man, you know what? That has helped me. I look through and I see pictures of our kids when they were little bitty. And it's like, wow, what happened? But you know what? It reminds me of the blessings that I've been given. We have so many. We sang it this evening. Count your many blessings. You have to force yourself to count them. Nobody is going to thank the Lord for you. Nobody's going to praise the Lord for you. You yourself have to do it. If you're not constantly thanking and praising God, guess what? You're going to start forgetting about God's blessings. You have to have some reminders. What do you have in your life to help you remember? My wife has an ESV, and I should have asked her before I told you this. She has an ESV she had a guy that liked her, that wanted to start dating her, and he didn't read the King James Bible. And so he gave her an ESV, said, just go ahead and look at it and just read it. You'll like this one a lot better. And so she had this Bible and she looked through it for herself and she made the decision, this is not God's word. This is a false perversion that is trying to keep God's word from going forward. This is fake. And so she keeps that Bible, and the first time I saw it, I'm like, well, what is this? All right, we gotta have a discussion here. What's going on? But she keeps it as a reminder. Because that was a decision that she made between her and God. And that is something that, what do you have in your life that reminds you about what God has done in your life? Again, what do you remember? What do you remember? Pictures of the kids, wedding rings, childhood Bible. I've got a childhood Bible in my office. I've got several Bibles that I've had through childhood. Some of them I have to keep rubber banded together. For some reason, boys are a little rough with Bibles. I keep those as a reminder. I pull those out and I look through the notes that I took and sermon notes and things. And that is a great reminder of how God, you've blessed me. I've got signatures in my Bible of preachers that I've heard in the past. Those are constant reminders of the blessings of the Lord. We have to make the choice to remember. We have to make the choice to remember. Moses, and later here in the passage, there's the Levites. They chose to remember God. Moses said to the Levites in verse number 26, chapter 32, verse number 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out of the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. The children of Israel, of course, we're worshiping this God, this idol that they've created. And Moses remembered God's blessing. And he asked the question, Who's on the Lord's side? Man, the Levites, they stood up. He said, grab your sword. We're going to go take care. And there was a punishment that was brought against the children of Israel. Not only by man, which we just saw, but also by God. In verse number 35, the Bible says, and the Lord plagued the people because they made a calf, which Aaron had made. Again, this decision is either you remember God's blessings, you make the effort to remember what God's done in your life, or you forget. And there will be punishment for that. Why? Because we are living our lives without God. We're trying to live our lives without God. And we forget about what He's done. We forget about where He's taken us. And the trials and the victories that God has brought into our life, those are things that we can look back to. You have a testimony. Not everybody here has the same salvation story. But we all have different places that the Lord's taken us from and different things that we've gone through. Those are not things that hinder you. Those are things that you look back to remind yourself, to remember. What did Moses tell God? He said, look, remember what you said to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. Hey, remember the blessings of the Lord tonight. The devil tries so hard to make us forget about our personal victories over sin, our marriage, our families, the commandments of the Lord, the blessings that God has brought to us. We have to work even harder to remember those blessings. When's the last time that you just stopped and you thanked God for everything that you see in the room? You just sit in your house and just start thanking God for the many things that you have. Thank God. It's a good practice for families and for husband and wife. We're going to take tonight. We're just going to write down all the blessings that God's given us. Why? You have to make yourself do that. It's not just going to happen on its own. But the more we remember God, the closer we get to God and we remember those blessings, the more God is able to bring those back and keep us from having heartache, keep us from the punishment that comes with that. Again, we're not trying to forsake the Lord. We're trying to remember those blessings in our life. Keep your focus on God and put things in your life to remember what God has done for you. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray. God, I thank you so much for your church. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to read the Bible, study the Bible. I thank you, Lord, for Lord Moses and just his reliance on you. And God, you blessed him greatly because he didn't forget about the blessings that you've given to him. Help us, Lord, as Christians, not to just take these things for granted. We take for granted that we have the ability to go to church. We take for granted that we have a church that stands on truth and principles and doesn't waver to the crowd. Lord, we take for granted that we have you. And, Lord, the grace that we sang about, that amazing grace, that's a blessing that we have. And, Lord, help us as Christians to remember what you've done. Help us to not to forget, not to forsake you, but to constantly remember and to keep those things in our life to remind us of your blessings.